welcome back to 32 Fans in 32 Days. Kiva, week 5 is in the books. How are you today?
Well, it's a lot different than doing this in person. But I guess this time we'll talk into the mics and people will be able to hear what we're saying, and maybe that'll be an improvement over last time.
Yeah, well, since the last time we spoke, the Jets still haven't lost. The Mets are one game away from the NLCS, so I think you're riding high.
No, I'm assuming they're going to lose in 5.
The Mets.
Yeah, oh yeah, for sure.
All right. I got to say, I've turned on the Mets so quickly with the way that their fans have acted about Chase Utley. It's been ridiculous to me.
Here's the thing. Like a dirty secret, if you are a New York team that's upset enough, you can the fan base can push the league to do things. Like, this happens. If the slide happened in Minnesota, he wouldn't have been suspended.
Well, if there was no injury, he's not suspended, because on the field,
sure,
they didn't rule anything. The umpires didn't rule anything. The review actually rewarded him.
Wait, shouldn't we save this for our baseball podcast?
Yeah. Okay. I think Mets fans should be pissed at MLB. I don't understand why they're pissed.
Right, no, you should be upset at the rule, but we're going to take it out on... I mean, Chase Utley's a jerk, so it's not. If it was like a good guy, then...
I've always liked Chase. See, I always liked the guys...
What if it was Puig, by the way? That would be way worse, yeah, right?
I always liked
the guys. Wasn't Puig like the best player in baseball like a year ago? How is he not even starting?
Because the Dodgers' whole team, their whole bench is guys making $50 million a year.
It is really a crazy team. Utley, yeah. Rollins, Puig. Anyway, let's talk about football.
So let's jump right into football. So we still did our, we guessed the lines this week, and I beat you rather handily. The last 2 weeks, you've really been off, but we're not going to go through the games game by game that way. By the way, last week I thought you did bad. You were 28 games off collectively. This game you were 38 games off.
So, points. You mean points off total.
Excuse me, points. Yeah.
Okay.
But we're going to go through, I each week do my power rankings, and Akiva, we're at the quarter pole. Every team in the league has played at least 4 games. So you did power rankings as well, and we averaged them out together. And we're going to go in reverse order through our power rankings, sort of like we did in the preseason. And also we'll talk about, not just this past week, but where the team's been through a month and how they compare to where they started the season. So that having been said, we're going to jump in right at the bottom, which is the most appropriate place to jump in, I assume. And it's a little unusual because you don't have a bunch of teams with no wins. You have one team with no wins, but they've actually been a little bit better. All the really bad teams do have one or two wins, but we still have Jacksonville 32nd. Which is also where I had them in my preseason power rankings. So, and where you and I collectively did in our podcast. So nothing's really changed for the Jaguars.
Yeah, this is like a legacy 32nd, because I'm not sure if they've objectively been the worst team in the NFL. They got killed once, but they lost by 11 to an undefeated team in Carolina. They took the Colts to overtime. They took the Colts to overtime on the road, which at the time looked like a terrible result. But maybe is a slightly better result now that the Colts actually beat Houston. The Tampa loss was really bad. The Miami win, I think, we're underrating a little bit. I don't think, even though Miami fired their coach, I don't think they're nearly as bad as...
Well, we're not underrating it, but again, every other bad team has at least one win.
Yeah, it's weird because any other season, none of these teams would even be 30th based on their resume. Like, there's usually 2 or 3, like, execrable teams that's season's completely over and... There's really the Lions aren't going to make the playoffs, but they could be like a decent team down the stretch. There's really no team here that's just like totally dead in the water.
Well, look, Jacksonville has the worst scoring differential, and their only win came against a team who's 1-3. So
yeah, but Jacksonville has like a core of something going on. Like, I'm not saying Bortles is really good, but he can like fling the ball around to Hearns and Robinson. It looks like Yeldon is not—he's not a Trent Richardson, right?
Wait, he can fling the ball around. This last week is the first time they scored more than 20 points. I mean, and it was all in garbage time.
All right, he's getting better, I think. And the receivers are getting better. I think they have the makings of competent offense. I mean,
their offense was better last year. Well, their passing game was. Yeldon actually is a big improvement, obviously.
Yeah, and I mean, their defense has had 2 miserable games in the last 3 weeks, so. They deserve to be 32nd, but there's other teams that could also make that case.
All right, this week they're hosting Houston. Are you putting that up for a win or a loss?
Yeah, I think it's basically. I'm going to have this at like number one. I'm going to have this as my lowest confidence ranked game. Like I this is like a total pick'em for me. I think that it's hard to say. Like, Houston can move the ball on Jacksonville, but they're certainly not going to be able to stop Jacksonville because they haven't stopped anybody. So I would probably, I would lean towards the home team, but I think Houston has like some crazy Watt game in them. So I'll pick the Texans.
All right, so you're going to pick the Texans. I think I'm going to pick Jacksonville. By the way, last week you beat me in just picking wins and losses again. You went 10-4. I went 9-5. We only disagreed on one game, actually, which was Arizona at Detroit. And you were slightly more correct than I was on that one.
You picked the Lions to beat the Cardinals?
Yeah, well, the Cardinals didn't look great the week before, and the Lions kept having really close losses, and I thought, this was it, do or die, and they died.
Okay.
So, and also, we couldn't have chalk on all 14 games. That would have been boring. All right, so I'm going to pick Jacksonville again here, so we're off to a good disagreement. This was probably the strangest line of the week also. You and I both picked Jacksonville. We thought they'd be favored, and Houston's actually favored in Jacksonville. What has Houston done to earn, to be giving points on the road?
Nothing. I mean, they're so bad. I don't know what – like, people are just avoiding them, and they don't – because their games are so unwatchable, and I'm not sure they realize, like, how bad the Texans are.
Yeah, that line really makes no sense. That was, as I said, you were off 5.5 points on this one, but that's not really your fault. I was also 4 points off. I don't understand that line. All right, so let's continue in our power rankings, and now we have we have Houston at 31st. So it's the two worst teams in the league playing each other this week.
Wow.
And they've really fallen from grace.
I don't know.
We had them as like a borderline playoff team.
Yeah. No one's gonna want to do Hard Knocks anymore after this.
Yeah,
I mean, Bill O'Brien's probably going to get fired. Watt didn't even play well this week. Like, I don't even know what's going on with Houston.
Yeah, their only win also, against a really bad team was against Tampa. They got killed at Atlanta, which is the only game in which Atlanta's done that. Notwithstanding the fact that they're 5-0, they lost badly in week 1 to the Chiefs, who it turns out, the Chiefs haven't won a game since then. And this week they kept it close against the Colts, but everybody keeps close against the Colts. The bottom line is they lost to Matt Hasselbeck, who was barely alive.
So, I mean, they have 4 games left against the Texans and the Titans. So if you magically transported a good team into the Texans' bodies, like, they're still like a contender for the 6th seed in the playoffs in the AFC South. But they're only chances to win the division if they became a good team, like. 1-4 isn't out of it if they were good. They happen not to be good.
Well, yeah, that's true. And the thing is, their defense just hasn't been good. Their offense has been mediocre.
I mean, Matt Hasselbeck moved the ball down the field against them all game. Yeah. It's insane.
Yeah, so you said that it was J.J. Watt and 52 nobodies in the preseason, and it seems that might be correct. So, and as we said, we have a disagreement there. You think they finally get a win. I think they're going to lose on the road to Jacksonville this week.
Don't mistake me for caring, though. Like, that's a 50-50 game.
Yeah.
By the way, let's just talk about week 6 for a second. Like, last week on paper was a really bad slate of games.
And there was a bunch of good ones.
It
yeah.
ended up being, like, a really even, like, a lot of, like, B-minus teams facing off against, like, C-pluses. And the games ended up really good. There was 3 1 o'clock overtime games. This week is interesting because I think it's a lot of like this game, two horrible teams playing each other, but then the good teams kind of pairing off too. This is probably, for my money, I had said this a couple weeks ago, this is the best slate of games this season.
We got the bad one out of the way. And now let's move up to 30th, another 1-4 team. And this one, the Saints, 1-4, and their only one was in overtime against Brandon Whedon on really a fluke play. New Orleans has just looked really, really bad.
Yeah,
you called it. You said he only had a down to go.
Yeah, but there's just the offensive line is so bad. The defense is so bad. Like,
the running game has disappeared. Last year they had a great running game.
Yeah, Ingram looked like he was becoming an NFL player last year, and he hasn't been. They have like 5 B-minuses at receiver with Cooks and Snead and Colston, who's washed up. I mean, look at their results. Like, they were respectable in week 1. They lost to the Cardinals. They lost at home to Tampa Bay, right? They got killed.
If they were respectable. They got killed by the Cardinals. But the Cardinals are a good team.
Yeah, they got killed in Philly, and like you said, they beat Brandon Whedon at home in overtime. They've been losing home games left and right for a couple of years now. So it's not like you can assume that this is the Thursday night game this week, right? They're hosting Atlanta. It's not like you could assume they have a big edge. Like, I'm picking the Falcons. I assume you're picking the Falcons also.
I don't know. See, Atlanta only looked good in that one game. Atlanta also they barely beat Washington overtime this week. I'm still not really on the Atlanta bandwagon.
I mean, Ryan's going to be able to throw the ball all over the field on this team, though.
Yeah,
I will say we'll get to this when we get to the Falcons. Like, Ryan makes throws that like, I would knock Ryan down to class almost after watching, like, a ton of Falcons this week. He really makes throws that, like, not, like, forget about Brady and, like, you know, in his prime Peyton and Rodgers make. Like, he makes like, you know, Eli's worst throws. Like, he missed Hankerson a couple times when he was wide open. I don't know. I was not so impressed with Ryan this week.
All right. Yeah, so I'm going to, you know what, Thursday night, I think I'm actually going to pick New Orleans to win. So we have a second disagreement already.
But all these teams, you'd agree, are very, like, similarly, you know, bad. Like, none of them are like, oh my god, this is the worst team we've seen in 5 years at all.
Yeah,
but they're so interchangeable. They're so interchangeable right now.
Yeah, the bottom is very interchangeable.
I would say the bottom, like,
bottom eight.
Yeah, the bottom eight or so is really interchangeable. Yeah, I would agree. You know, 25 to 32, any of those teams could be last.
Yeah, I mean, as an example, I had, you know, I'm looking at my power rankings. I had Chicago 31st a couple weeks ago, and then they won. You know, they beat Oakland. And then I had Chicago and Tampa Bay 29th and 30th last week, and they both won. You know, I've had, you know, and then obviously there was the week one when we said when there was the all five of the bottom teams won and everybody got eliminated from Survivor, or week two, excuse me. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so there's no really, really awful team, or maybe there's just so much mediocrity at the bottom that they all sort of cancel each other out.
Yeah, you know? I think that's what it is.
Yeah. So, all right. So now we have 29th place, another 1-4 team. And this was a team who looked like the worst team in the NFL from weeks 2 to 4. But they looked a little better last week, which is why I think you boosted them up. This is our second biggest disagreement. You have San Francisco at 25. I had them at 31. So we averaged them out at 29. So we have the 49ers. So you actually, as again, you don't think that they're that atrocious. I think just because, you know, week one, they're on national TV and they look good. And week five, they're on national TV and they look good, albeit in a losing effort. But in between that, they had the three worst outcomes in the league.
They got destroyed by the Steelers, who still had Roethlisberger. And we'll talk about them later. But I think the Steelers are really good.
And Arizona and Green Bay. Yeah, that's right. They're playing really good teams.
They got killed by three really good teams, and the Giants, they lost by three on the road. They probably should have won, and the Giants are good. Their win was a much more impressive win than any of the other teams we're going to talk about in this bottom 10, right? As I'm sure you'd agree with, 20-3 over your Vikings. They're bad, but, you know, their defense hasn't been as bad.
But we were talking about Kaepernick being, like, the worst quarterback in the NFL, and then all of a sudden he had a good game against the Giants, so we're just going to forget about that?
No, Kaepernick is still terrible, but the defense has something there. Like, the 47 against Arizona was so much of that was defensive scores. The 43 against Pittsburgh, like, I know this as,
well, you know, defensive scores, because Kaepernick throws the ball to the wrong team.
Yeah, but that can't, you know, the Cardinals do that to you. I don't know if the Ravens are going to do that to you.
Yeah, so this week is an interesting game because, and here's another terrible game in week six. I think you're right. Week six.
I don't think this is a terrible game. I think this will be a really competitive game.
Well, but it's a game that nobody cares about, though.
Yeah, but, well, the Ravens fans are probably irrational and think they're still winning the Super Bowl, so don't go too crazy.
I mean, do they think their season's still alive?
Oh, yeah. Oh, Ravens fans are nuts. They have, like, the most optimistic, confident fans in the world. Number one in the league in terms of confidence, no question.
All right, so Baltimore is going to San Francisco, and yeah, you know what? I'm going to pick the home team again. I don't know. How do you pick Baltimore? How do you pick Baltimore anymore?
Yeah.
I have no idea what to do. Like,
Baltimore should really take Torrey Smith with them home. They should, like, give him a draft pick or something.
Well, but it's too late now. But yeah, but that was a trade that, you know, that benefited nobody, clearly. So who are you picking, Baltimore at San Francisco?
Yeah, this was along with the Jacksonville-Houston game, like a total toss-up for me. I think I'll go with San Francisco just because, I don't know, like, Flacco's been so bad also. Like, you said Kaepernick, a lot of people, according to some metrics, think he's been the worst quarterback in the league. But Flacco was the worst QB in the league last week, according to Pro Football Focus. Like, Flacco has major problems. And obviously a lot of it is the line and the fact that, you know, he has, you know, Steve Smith when he's healthy to throw to. Yeah, I'll pick the Niners, but with not a lot of conviction.
All right. So to keep things interesting, I am going to pick Baltimore. So we've disagreed in all three games. This time you take the home team, I take the road team. You know, again, I really, really liked Baltimore in the preseason. And so I think I'm giving them one last chance that they probably don't deserve. But all right. So now we have a three-way tie, tied for 26th in our power rankings. And Tampa, Tennessee, and Detroit. So which one of those disappointing teams do you want to talk about first?
Whichever one you want. I don't care.
All right. So let's get Detroit out of the way because they're 0-5.
Well, I think they're actually the more interesting team, Detroit, because they're not your classic 0-5. It's weird to only have one team. Like, I can't imagine that in, you know, past through 5 weeks, there have been a lot of years where there's only one winless team. I feel like there's usually like three or four.
Yeah, but look, if you look at Detroit's schedule, none of those games, first of all, they were an underdog in every single one of those games.
The worst team they've lost to was San Diego, and that was a 33-28 road loss.
Yeah, they lost a close game in week one to San Diego. Then they got killed by the Vikings. They got beaten pretty soundly at home by Denver, but, you know, Denver's
and again, both of those, you say kill, like that was a 10 and a 12 point deficit. It's not like they're losing by 50 either of those.
Well, I mean, they were losing the Vikings game by 16. They got a touchdown, you know, the last few seconds. Right.
But then they lost by three, like a legitimate loss in Seattle.
They could have won that game if not for, you know, the very questionable penalty.
And the Arizona loss, like Arizona's just too physical for them. It's just a bad matchup for them.
Yeah, they also gave up, though. I mean,
Yeah, so this is the third game.
It was a Dan Orlovsky game.
This is the third game we've seen so far that's just absolutely horrendous. Like, Detroit-Chicago, you know, that Chicago, I don't know how they won that game because they didn't look like an NFL team for, like, most of that game. But this is an unwatchable game. Other than, like, if you want to see if, like, Stafford has anything left, because Cutler's been getting better and Stafford has somehow gotten worse. We said in the preseason, right, that Stafford's gotten worse every
4 years in a row.
Yeah. And now he's like substantially worse. He's like, you know, looking for, you know, a Tyrod Taylor on the waiver wire to bring in as your backup fantasy QB. Because
again, you said this week is like the best slate of games and people are wondering, well, they've gone through four terrible games.
But we're going in backwards order.
Yeah. And exactly the way that
you want the bad teams to play the bad teams.
Exactly. Yeah. All the bad teams play each other.
It's like in college football now. Like, yeah, the Bowling Green is playing Miami of Ohio and that game sucks. But that means that, you know, Alabama is no longer playing a team in the MAC. They're playing an SEC team.
Okay, so Chicago at Detroit. I think Detroit finally gets off the schneid this week. What about you?
Yeah.
Bears just won on the road at Kansas City.
I'm going to say Chicago.
You're picking Chicago?
Yeah, because to me, the coach, Caldwell, is out the door. Almost every team we've discussed so far, their coach is getting fired. You know, Philbin, we didn't discuss Miami yet, Philbin got fired. But Jacksonville, Gus Bradley's gone. Do you agree? If they continue, you know, if they go 4-12, he's gone.
Not necessarily. You know,
I think he's gone. This is third year. It feels like it's his second year. It's his
third year.
Oh,
I thought it was his second year.
No, it's his third year.
Okay.
He's gone. Bill O'Brien, if they go 5-11 this year, probably gets fired.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sean Payton, he might not get fired, but he might get traded. Yeah, he's out of there.
Yeah. Tomasula's not gone yet.
Not going yet. No.
Yeah.
Although it would be, you know, the truth is, in my opinion, they have a better coach on the staff. I think Mangini would be a better coach than Tomasula. But yeah, Tomasula's going to get a second year. Caldwell's for sure getting fired unless they go, you know, 7-9, right?
Even so.
Yeah. It was a mistake. They never should have. A lot of times teams in the NFL hire a guy who had like the one good season, you know.
Isn't it interesting? This is a team that went 11-5 last year. And they were underdogs each of the first five games this year. So they're 0-5, but they haven't really disappointed. They were supposed to lose all those games.
I know, but
I'll say this.
What about
why
Stafford? Yeah, you want to maybe blame the GM, the fact that Stafford can't, you know, is getting smashed every play. That's fine.
And the defense
lost a lot of good players and didn't really replace them.
Even, you know, in the preseason, like when I, you know, our Lions fan thought they'd go 8-8, but I predicted them to lose each of these four games before the season. I thought they'd win against Arizona, but of course we didn't know how good Arizona really was. But I also thought they'd win the next 3 weeks. You know, the next three games are winnable. They're playing at home, Bears, Vikings, and Chiefs. And, you know, if they can win all of those games, 3-5. I mean, then they go to the Packers, 3-6. You know, they got to play
Packers. But Caldwell's probably getting fired.
Yeah, they could eke out 7-9, but they might have just given up already.
Okay.
All right. So then we have Tennessee. Tennessee, who's 1-3, but really should have won this week. Bill Barnwell wrote about that. I mean, Wisenhunt just completely screwed up this game. They should have beaten the Bills, and then they'd be 2-2, and you know we'd be all excited about them. Instead, they're 1-3, and because Indy has turns it around with a bunch of close, undeserved wins, probably Tennessee's.
Do you know about Tennessee's streak?
Which one?
I think it's the 14th straight season that they're the most boring team in the NFL.
Oh, I thought that was Carolina.
You know, like Cam Newton at least can do something. Like Tennessee hasn't been interesting since the day Steve McNair left the Titans.
Since the day he died.
No.
too soon.
Too soon.
Also, he's on the Ravens then, I think.
Yeah, I mean, so the Titans have, like, what you might consider a good victory. Like, yes, they beat an atrocious team, but it was Tampa Bay on the road, and they won by 4 touchdowns. So that's, like, a respectable week one win. You know, the Indy loss, that was the Hasselback, right?
Yeah, but that was a really close game. They lost by two.
So the loss by two touchdowns in Cleveland.
No, that was Luck. That was the Luck game.
Oh, that they did lose. You're right. Luck got hurt at the end of that game. You're right.
They lost by two to the Colts. They lost by one to the Bills.
Yeah.
You know, this team could be 3-1. So.
Yeah. So they're in there. They're fighting. I haven't loved what I've seen from Mariota so far, but he's a rookie, and let him play 16 games with a bad team, and you can't really learn too much from that.
Well, so here we have yet another bad game.
Yeah.
They're hosting Miami. Another, you know, so that's our fourth game in a row between teams with a one win apiece. And I think this is, you know, if they win this game, their season is still alive. If they lose this game, their season is clearly over. And that's true for both teams. This is a loser leaves town match, right?
Okay, Cousin Sal. I think that I Miami should win this game. Miami's just so much better. And what have you seen from this new coach so far? He's like, everything about him is so wacky.
Yeah,
there was a story today. Like his appendix exploded on like an airplane. He didn't want to tell anybody.
Yeah, didn't tell anybody. Yeah.
Wasn't manly enough.
He's clearly insane. But he's only the coach because they had nobody. Well, we're not talking about the Dolphins yet, but they had nobody else.
Right. They couldn't hire the offensive coordinator because he was so bad. They couldn't hire the defensive coordinator because ultimately they didn't even want to fire Philbin as much as like the defensive coordinator like ruined the whole team because the players hated him so much they had to fire him. And like the special teams coach, I guess they decided wasn't pedigreed enough. So this guy's like never been a coach before like last year or something, and he's just a tight ends coach, which like there are teams that don't even like have a tight ends coach some years. And play caller is still there, so maybe they could get something going. I do think that because they're only 1-3, they should have hired Jim Schwartz or like some other person like that. Because why are you throwing your season away by promoting some nobody to be your defensive coordinator? Like, why not go out, you know, and pay some renegade defensive coordinator? Like, I know that
it's hard in the middle of the season.
The owner doesn't want to throw more money at this like dumpster fire of a season. But they're only 1-3. I mean, I guess you'd say like the division's already won basically because the Patriots are so good.
Yeah, and the Jets are 3-1
ahead of them, right? And there's two teams.
Yeah, and both of those teams beat them already with a home game.
No, so listen, I don't know, like. Whatever, maybe the guys they have on staff are good, but I don't know. Like now, you lost your head coach and your defensive coordinator. Like, I don't know if that's too much for a team to overcome in such like a tactic based league. But talent wise, my point is they're way better than Tennessee, so I'm going to pick them to beat Tennessee this week.
All right, so I'll pick Tennessee. So we've disagreed on all five games so far. So keep it exciting. Okay. And we covered Miami in addition to Tennessee there, so which is good because Miami's 25th, so we'll skip them when we get to them. But we have one more team tied at 26th, and that's Tampa Bay, the first two-win team we've covered yet. And you know, the Bucs also, they've been a real Jekyll and Hyde team. Of course, they were the worst team in the league in Week One. Then they went on the road and beat New Orleans, and then they lost to the Texans, which looked bad. They lost pretty badly to Carolina, but they blew out Jacksonville again this week. So. You know, I think that their offense.
They would be feasting if they were, you know. AFC South. No, not really.
Doug Martin looks like he's back. And they have a chance this week. They're going to Washington. And, you know, their schedule gets
much harder, though, because they have.
Was the easiest part of their schedule, and they only got two wins.
Well, they have a bye this week, right? And then they go to Washington and Atlanta. They host the Giants. Then they host the Cowboys, who you'd assume November 15th, Romo's going to be back, right? That, you know, at Philly, at Indianapolis, hosting Atlanta, like they're going to be toast.
Yeah. And look, this division's over.
I have to say, if this
team
goes 3-13 or 4, they already have two wins. So let's say they go 6-10, 5-11. Like, is Lovie Smith in trouble? Because I think he's in the same boat as Caldwell. We're like, oops, we shouldn't have made that hire. You know,
if you win six games with a rookie quarterback, I don't think.
Yeah, I know that's going to be the problem. Like, if he has a good connection with Winston, and maybe Winston has like two games at the end of the season that he goes nuts and doesn't throw any interceptions, you know, you could make.
Lovie was a good coach for the Bears.
He was a really good coach, but he was also out of the league for a couple of years, and like one of these guys who really had to like lobby for a job.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you know maybe people think the league has passed him by or he's too old. I don't know how old he is, but. I don't know. Every team we've seen so far except for maybe Tennessee, has like a legitimate chance to fire their coach. I mean, Tennessee, if they lost a zillion games, could also fire their coach, but.
Yeah, Lovie Smith, by the way, is 57.
Okay, so he's not so old.
Yeah, that's a good average age for a coach. All right, so are you predicting this week that Tampa goes on the road?
Oh, well, they're definitely going to go on the road.
No, no, no. They're on a bye. Excuse me. Tampa Washington game is next week.
Oh, yeah. That's not this week.
All right. Sorry. Yeah. So they're 2-3, and they will stay 2-3. All right. And then so then we go up to after the three-way tie 26 between the Bucks, the Titans, and the Lions, we have the Dolphins at 25. We covered them. Now we have the Bears at 24. And the Bears are another team. It's a little hard to figure out what's going on there because they looked like they were completely giving up. They were firing, you know, they were trading away everything that moved. We thought that that Matt Forte would be the next piece to go.
I would have liked to see a total fire sale with Forte and Cutler.
But now they've won their last two games against two not good teams by a combined 3 points. But still, a win is a win. Cutler's back, and they've won two in a row with Cutler, which means that with Cutler actually this year they're 2-1, with their only loss being by a touchdown to the Packers. So maybe the Bears aren't as bad as we thought they were.
Well, here's the thing: the Bears got killed by the three best teams in the NFC, probably, right? Green Bay, Arizona, and Seattle.
Yeah.
And then they beat two, you know, dregs of the AFC West
by a combined 3 points.
Right, by three points in games where they got outplayed both games, by the way.
Yeah, let's hold our horses, yeah.
So now they played horrible teams and really good teams. So now, like, they have the middle of their schedule with Detroit. I know Detroit's 0-5, but to me, they're still, like, a middling team. Detroit, Minnesota, San Diego, and St. Louis are, like, literally four, you know, like, you know, teams in that average, slightly above average, slightly below average range.
And then it gets worse. Then they have Broncos and Packers.
Yeah, oh, no, their season's over. Like, they're not making the playoffs. But, you know, they have four winnable games if they're competent. I just don't know if we have any information. Like, great, you can win a coin toss against a horrible team and get annihilated by – and they looked – to be fair, they looked fine in week one hosting Green Bay. They were able to move the ball. Forte had a really good game. We almost don't have enough information, so I would probably pick Detroit. I would pick Detroit in this game. Did we pick this game already?
Yeah.
And I picked, who did I pick?
Hold on. Sorry, I got to go back to that. I picked Detroit. You picked Chicago, actually.
Okay. Yeah. I'm thinking, like, it's in Detroit.
By the way, those two teams have the second and third worst differentials in the league. Chicago's minus 56. Detroit's minus 55.
Yeah. But that's what I'm saying. There's no team that's, like, already minus 100. There are. I think there's a team that's plus 100 already.
And the Cardinals are plus 100.
Yeah, so I'm saying, like, there's nobody that's nearly as bad as the good teams are good.
Well, but the Cardinals have the best differential through five games, I think, in history.
Oh, really? But the Pats are plus 73. So there's also nobody as bad as the Pats are good.
Yeah, but that team also has been incredible. Like, it's very hard.
Yeah. Well, I agree. There's three teams. I mean, I guess
minus 65 through five games means you're lost by an average of double digits every single game. You know, that's not that easy.
Sure. No, it's not easy.
You know, it's a pace for a minus 190 for the year, 200. All right, so are you switching? Are you going
to
save the Lions?
No. I'll keep the Bears. But again, it's such a coin toss to me. I'm going back and forth.
All right, so we're getting all these bad games out of the way, which is good. Now we continue our march up the power rankings, up to 23. And this was a team tied with San Francisco. We had our biggest disagreement. That's Cleveland, and I had them at 20. I think Cleveland has looked really good, and you have them down at 26. You have them below San Francisco and Detroit and a bunch of and Miami and Chicago and a bunch of these crummy teams that we've already covered. You think the Browns are worse than all of them. So let me sell you on the Browns first, and then you tell me why I'm wrong. Mm-hmm. You know, look, first of all, they're the Browns. So granted, they're still the Browns. But, you know, your Jets beat them pretty easily in week one. But again, there was a lot of flukes there, a lot of fumbles and stuff like that.
That was Manziel. Like, you don't want to, you know, they were playing great. Like McCown said this week, they had one drive with him pre-concussion. It was a 17-play drive. He happened to fumble jumping in for a touchdown, so they didn't get any points, I don't think. But, you know, they were able to move the ball better than any team has all season, except for Philly on the Jets. Then he happened to go out, and then Manziel's Manziel.
Well, but they won the Manziel game, and then McCown came back. So first of all, this offense, I happen to have Josh McCown on my fantasy team as a backup. He leads the NFL in passing yards the last 3 weeks. He actually leads fantasy football in points as well. He, you know, he I think he 19, 22, and then 35 this week on my bench, of course, in which I barely lost. And you know, but I'm not going to start him over Aaron Rodgers. They won at Baltimore this week. The week before, they lost at San Diego in overtime by 3. So basically, they play neck and neck on the road against two teams that we thought are playoff caliber teams. You know, both of those going to overtime. And so that's why I think that they're definitely better than these dregs we've talked about, because they played, you know, to, you know, playoff caliber teams in theory 2 weeks in a row, and they played him, you know, neck and neck. Their offense with McCown, he's really moving the ball. He looks even better than he did in Chicago in 2013. You know, their defense has not been as good as we thought it would be. You know, and their schedule also gets a lot worse. They're playing the Broncos, and then they're playing the Rams.
Oh, their schedule is obscene. Yeah.
In fact, yeah, this is their schedule coming up. Broncos, Rams, at Rams, Cardinals, at Bengals, at Steelers, Ravens, Bengals. They're not going to be favored again until they play the 49ers in the middle of December. So they might end up shooting down these power rankings. But for now, I think 20 is pretty fair. They're 2-3, and they could be 3-2. They've been more competitive than most of the teams.
My argument against the Browns was I don't respect the win in Baltimore as much because I don't think Baltimore's so good. It was a little bit fluky. The 3-point loss in San Diego looked like a very competent loss last week, but now like that San Diego's losing to Michael Vick, who can't play football.
Yeah, San Diego stinks, but that's still, you know, that's I don't know how many teams we've covered so far would have, you know, played San Diego in San Diego to a standstill like that.
And you know, losing to Oakland at home is not a good result. Like, let's not go crazy about the Raiders.
Yeah.
So, and, you know, Manziel or not, you know, giving up 31 to the Jets is hard to do. So. Yeah.
All right. So we both clearly have them losing this week at home to Denver, right?
Oh, yeah. No question. To me, it's like if they're going to show anything this year, at least, you know, put up a fight, which a lot of teams have been able to do against Denver, like Baltimore and Minnesota. You know, if they're going, you know, if they're down 21-3 and, you know, Hillman and Anderson each have 100 yards in the third quarter, then I'm writing them off.
All right. Now we have a 22, the team about whom we have the biggest disagreement. And there's going to be some hot takes coming here because I don't understand what is going on. It's the Dallas Cowboys. I have them at 15. You have them at 30. You think the Cowboys are basically the worst team in the league?
No. So basically, I'm ranking them as with Brandon Weeden. I have them at 30, if that makes any sense. Because to me.
But it's the whole season, though.
Oh, God. Oh, well, but I'm not giving them, like, now you're people, you know, if Romo comes back after the bye or the week after that, then, you know, the season is still salvageable. You know, at worst, they're 2-4, although they're playing Philly that week. So they could easily, Seattle that week, they could easily go to 2-5 with Romo. But I'm ranking them as a team that lost by 11 at home to Atlanta.
But that was a close game.
They lost to New Orleans, who's horrible.
Again, in overtime.
Okay, but I have to rank somebody 30th. And
they were, you
know, totally inept against the Patriots, which it's fine to give up a lot of points against the Patriots, but you should score more than 6 points against the Patriots.
Well, they weren't going to beat the Patriots, so I don't care what the score is.
I know, but the point is right now with Weeden.
Going into Sunday.
Who would they be favored against with Weeden?
Well, hold on. I'll tell you. Going into Sunday, they were in first place in their division. And, you know, to compare them to Pittsburgh. Now, Pittsburgh, of course, won last night. But you sent me your power rankings before Pittsburgh won last night. And you had Pittsburgh 9 and Dallas 30. And both of those teams had done very similarly with their starting quarterback and had done very similar without their starting quarterback. Pittsburgh, without their starting quarterback, lost at home to Baltimore, which was,
yeah, but
you know,
their quarterback is close. If Romo misses 6 more weeks, then for all intents and purposes, the season is over for them.
Yeah, but we're not making power rankings based on...
Well, I am. Well, here's the thing also. If it's based on week six, where they are, to me, the Cowboys would lose this week to Tampa Bay with Weeden at quarterback. They'd be a toss-up against Tennessee or Jacksonville. So to me, they're in the running for worst team in the league. And you're forgetting that the Lance Dunbar injury was a really big deal because Dunbar was amazing the first month of the season.
Yeah, well, McFadden also had a lot of, you know, garbage time receptions against the Patriots on Sunday. I look at the power rankings the same way you would do for college football. It's based on the body of work so far, how do you rank them? And to rank them 30th is unfair.
No, the body of work is probably
18. Is where I am.
Yeah, somewhere around there. Yeah. But to me, if I don't think Romo's coming back as fast as they say, just because that's not the length of time that people have come back from this injury in the past. If he comes back November 15th for that aforementioned Cowboys Bucks game, then that's probably too late to save the season if they're losing in New England and then they're losing to Seattle and Philly. Like, they're going to have to get a scalp one of these three weeks.
They won at Philly without Romo, so why can't they win at home against Philly?
I mean, when did Romo leave that game?
I think it was in the third quarter, but they outscored them from that point forward.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, I don't know. I've liked what I've seen from Philly in the last couple of weeks. I think they're, you know, it's a new quarterback in the system. I think he's been much better the last couple of weeks. That'll be,
you know, just if the Saints don't get that play in overtime, I think we're looking at them very differently.
Okay, you're probably right. But again, there's also a certain point where you reach diminishing returns in terms of Romo coming back, and then the return gets later or less relevant, because if they are 2-6. Then he basically has to win out the rest of the season. At best, go 7-1.
This is a division that 9-7 could still win the division.
Yeah. But 8-8 is not making the playoffs in the NFC this year. First of all, I'm not so down on the Giants. I think the Giants are a lock for at least 9-7.
Hold on. So I'm actually opening up. You know, so before the season, I predict every game, and then I update that chart every week. So let me look at my up-to-date predictions for the end of the season. And as I suspected, right now I have the Cowboys as the 6th seed at 8-8 in the NFC.
Mm-hmm.
And I have, the reason is I have the Vikings, Cowboys, Eagles, Carolina all going 8-8, and then Dallas wins because of tiebreakers. So I think 8-8 could make the playoffs as a wild card in the NFC. I don't think Dallas' season is over, and I do think they're going to lose the next couple of weeks. You know, so I think they're going to lose to the Giants, they're going to lose to the Seahawks. That Eagles game will be a big game because there's a big difference between 2-6 and 3-5.
Yeah, huge. If they could get to 3-5 with Romo come back, it would be a very exciting second.
And if you look at that after that, the rest of the
Cowboys
schedule,
always, I don't know if you agree with this, but there's just more gravitas to a Cowboys game than any other team to me. You know, maybe like if there's a team that's great that particular year, like the Patriots or whoever. But to me, every game feels like such an event. You know, so many of them are in primetime or in the 4:25 national slot. And it would be exciting to see Romo, you know, at the end of the year with some winnable games, you know, Miami, Washington, the Jets,
the
Buffalo.
Only game they have left after these next 3 weeks that's not an easy game Green Bay.
Yeah.
Other than that, Tampa, Miami, at home against Carolina, Washington, at home against the Jets, Bills, Washington, again, they could win all of those games.
It would be fun to see them try and make a run with Romo and Dez. Not that I'm rooting for the Cowboys, but the NFL is a little more fun always when they're good.
The Cowboys, yeah.
It's like the Yankees in baseball. I want the Yankees to lose in the World Series every year because the baseball playoffs seem to matter more when the Yankees are in them.
No, I'd rather they be out of the
playoffs. I know a lot of people would rather them lose 120 games, but I don't want them to win, but I want them to like suffer, like, you know, go up 3-0 and then blow.
Anyway, so now the Cowboys are on a bye this week, and when they come back, do we think Matt Cassel's their starting quarterback?
Well, it would be insane. I feel like it's like cutting off your nose to spite your face a little bit. Like,
can't be worse than Whedon.
He's worse. Like, he couldn't beat out, you know, EJ Manuel for the backup job in Buffalo, and EJ Manuel's the worst quarterback in the league. Like, Whedon is bad. So if you want to say, like, ooh, let's see what we have for 1 week, I understand the logic, but don't expect anything because Cassel is done.
Yeah, but I think the hope is that it's only one or two more weeks, and then hopefully by the Eagles game, Romo might be back. And Dez Bryant coming back could help whoever their quarterback is. And they're talking about him. He might be back.
Or it could hurt because he could just have a temper tantrum when Whedon can't throw him the ball.
Or Matt Cassel, yeah. All right, so let's continue our slog up the power rankings. And now we have a tie at 20th between those two aforementioned AFC West teams who the Bears have beaten the last 2 weeks. Oakland at 2-3, who we were talking about as the best 3-1 team in football if they had managed to beat the Bears, or the worst 3-1 team in football, excuse me. And Kansas City at 1-4. Kansas City, who destroyed Houston at Houston week one, and since then has lost every single one of their games. So let's start with the Chiefs. And the reason is because, you know, I think you were higher than I was on Kansas City in the preseason, but I had them at 15. I thought they were about an average team, and you thought that they, you know, were a possible playoff contender, or a serious playoff contender. And I think other people did too. I know Bill Barnwell had them as one of the best 8 teams in the league, and they destroyed Houston in week one, and it looked legit. And then since then, they played 3 of the top 5 teams in the league, and so they lost. You know, they barely lost the Broncos. There was some luck involved there. Then they lost to the Packers pretty handily. But again, at Green Bay, there's no, you know, then they lost at Cincinnati. But again, you know,
right,
that's
so
it's not...
three top five teams then for Green Bay exactly. And Cincinnati.
But then everybody
right, so you're saying, oh, yeah, they could beat a bad team. And
well,
they...
no, but everybody thought, yeah, so they're 1-3, but they just played 3 of the top 5 teams in the league. And so now they're coming home to the Bears and they're going to right the ship and they lose the Bears.
Yeah, I watched a lot of this game and I don't like it's still baffling. Like the Bears looked, you know, Cutler got sacked at the goal line. I don't even think it would have been a safety. I don't know if you saw that play, but. You know, and then he just basically, you know, fumbles the ball in the end zone. I don't like, to me, that's such an inexplicable loss that I almost want to like write that off and say like, oh, their season's not over. But
to me, it's a season-ending loss, though.
Yeah, because you're. I mean, in terms of just in terms of competency, I think. I like. Yes, they're not making the playoffs probably from 1-4 with the road. Yeah, they have.
Again, we said 8-8 could make it in the NFC. 8-8 is definitely not making it in the AFC.
Oh, okay? For sure not. And you know, I do think they'll be able to play with Minnesota this week, but I would be surprised if they won. You know, and let's not. You know, people like to talk about handcuffs in fantasy football, and like Jamal Charles is out. Yeah, and whatever that guy's name is, who I'd never heard of till this morning, and I'm spending, you know, like real money. Not just fab money, like I'm paying off, you know, like using real money for him. But like Niall Davis is not as good as Jamal Charles, and neither is DeBrick, whatever his name is. So you're losing the best player on your entire offense. And Alex Smith hasn't looked as good. You know, they moved the ball a lot against Cincy, but
mostly garbage time.
Yeah.
They didn't move the ball until the game was over.
And he, you know, he had a couple passes to Macklin, but he didn't really do anything against the Bears either. And he's not a young guy. Maybe he has passed his peak, whatever that was. I guess it was probably when he was throwing touchdowns every play in the playoff game against the Colts.
Well, it's when he, you know, only missed the Super Bowl with San Francisco because their punt returner couldn't hold on to the ball.
Yeah, I mean, he had like legitimate playoff moments, like the Colts comeback game. He was you know, incredible. And, you know, one of the best games of the last 20 years. People don't really remember it. The Niners Saints game with him and, you know, him running for a touchdown, then throwing one to Vernon Davis and the Saints coming back. Do you remember that game?
Yeah, of course.
Mean, probably the best game in terms of like the last 5 minutes of any playoff game of our lifetime. Just, you know, I think 4 or 5 touchdowns in the last couple of minutes of the game. So RIP Alex Smith's career. I think they lose by 3 to Minnesota.
And then their season's over, 1-5 for sure.
Yeah. If they can't beat Minnesota, 1-5, facing Big Ben next week, they'd be done.
Yeah. All right. Okay. And then we have them tied in the power rankings with the Raiders. And again, this was a Raiders team that was 2-1, and they were going to Chicago, and people actually thought Cutler wasn't going to play, although he ended up playing. But they barely, you know, they almost won that game. They would have been 3-1, and then they barely lost the Broncos this week. So they're 2-3, but you know, other than that week one loss to Cincy, which in hindsight is not, you know, a bad thing, they've actually been very competitive. I mean, they really shut down Peyton Manning. Everybody shut down Peyton Manning, but they shut him down even to a greater extent. So they're 2-3, but I don't know if their season's over. They got a tough game this week at San Diego, but if they could win there.
No, that's a bye. This is a bye. They're
oh, yeah. Oh, sorry. Yeah, that's right. I should look at the weekly schedule instead of the teams. But they have a bye, but I don't think their season's necessarily over. Derek Carr has had some good moments.
And yeah, the Raiders are fine. They have all the makings of like a 7-9, 8-8 team. Carr, I think, you know, some of the stats said he was the worst QB in the NFL last year. He's definitely a lot better than that now.
Yeah.
You know, the offensive line still isn't great. Latavius Murray has moments. Amari Cooper, Michael Crabtree is a legitimate receiving pair. And the defense has some real talent on it and can really, you know, knock a quarterback around wrong offensive line.
Yeah, I had Oakland at 31 in the preseason. I thought they were going to go like 2-14. I thought they'd have the worst record in the league.
I don't know where this came from, really. I mean, they had, you know.
Well, I'll tell you why. Part of it was because of their division. I thought they had Denver, who was a Super Bowl contender, and then Kansas City and San Diego, two more playoff contenders. I thought they were going to go 0-6 in the division. It turns out that by the time they play their next game, Kansas City is going to have a worse record than them no matter what they do this week. And San Diego, who's going at Green Bay, they're going to have a worse record than them. So they're going to be in second place in their division after the bye, no matter what. And, you know. And then, as we said, after the bye, they play San Diego, and San Diego 2-4, their season might be over or will be over. And so,
yeah, you know, and you know, they play the best division in the AFC this year in the AFC North, but they're already done with 3 of those 4 teams.
Yeah. And again, they were really close to beating both the Bears and the Broncos.
Right, and like you said, right, they have 2 games left each against the Chiefs and the Chargers. So, you know, 8-8 is definitely a possibility for the Raiders. I'm going to predict they go 7-9 this year, but you know, kudos to the Raiders for being better than usual.
Yeah. All right, so that we're slowly climbing our way up the power rankings. Now we're up to number 19, the last 1-4 team, the Baltimore Ravens. And this is another team that we had a big disagreement about. I have them at 23. I think they're garbage, but you still have them at 18. You're still giving them a lot of credit. Why have the Ravens earned any credit from you?
I mean, why do you think they're so bad?
I mean, they lost at home to the Browns. They lost to the Raiders. You know, they barely won on the last play. You know, they barely won on the last play of the game against Mike Vick, or they could be 0-5. They have the least impressive win of any team probably in the league.
Right. Okay. That's true. So
they haven't got blown out. All their games have been close.
Yes. But every game has been within 6 points so far.
Yeah, but you shouldn't have a close game at home against the Browns. You shouldn't have a close game against the Raiders, especially if you're.
They should have beat the Bengals, who were great. They played a very competitive game against the Broncos. Yeah. The Raiders aren't bad, and they lost on the road by 4. For some reason, you know, even though Pittsburgh has the worst quarterback in the NFL right now, they're playing, you know, the rest of their team is really good. So that's not such a terrible loss. And yeah, okay, so you lost in overtime to the Browns.
Okay, but if you think they're so decent, then why do you have them losing this week to San Francisco?
Well, they're just going to be in every game. Like, to me, that's a step above the Detroits and the Chicagos and the Tampa Bays. Like, they're going to be in every single game this year. You're not. Yeah. They have a better coach. You're not going to blow them out.
Yeah. Boy, this season really went south fast for them. Flacco, I in the preseason, I said that he was a Hall of Famer.
Yeah. And so far, I'd say he's not been elite this season.
Yeah. Joe Flacco is not a elite quarterback. I agree. And then another team that has really disappointed, but because of their bullshit schedule, they're going to get away with it, is that's number 18 on our list. That's the Colts. The Colts. It's so annoying.
Can everyone in America and agree with what I said a couple weeks ago, that they're the most hateable team in the NFL?
No, see, I totally
agree. Can we all root against them?
No, I root for, well, first of
well,
all.
Well, why do you root for a team that falls ass backwards into everything, every single season?
No, I don't root for that, but I mean, I can't root. They're playing the Patriots this week, so obviously I'm rooting for them.
Three wins against the three worst teams in the NFL. Congratulations.
But it's not just that.
They embarrassed themselves on Monday Night Football against the Jets. Yeah. They got punched in the mouth the whole game by the Bills, who aren't even that good.
They got lucky to beat the Titans. They got lucky to beat the Jaguars. They barely beat the Texans.
I hope New England beats them by 1,000 this week. I hope the scoreboard breaks. Oh, yeah. I mean, because the Patriots are going to win. Yeah. I hate the Patriots, too, but they're not going to lose. So once they're winning, at least embarrass the Colts. And you know they're going to try to after the, you know.
Here's the problem. The Colts are still going to go 11-5. They're still going to go 6-0 in their division.
Not necessarily true. They could lose to New Orleans. They could lose to anybody. They're so bad. Like, beating Tennessee, Jacksonville, and Houston teaches us nothing other than they're better than Tennessee.
But the bottom line is they got really lucky to win those three games. You know, they have a negative, negative 14 differential right now. And they should be 1-4, frankly, or 2-3 at best. But the bottom line is they did bank those wins and they got away with it.
I mean, I don't think they're playing, you know, they're you're going to see them a lot. They're playing a lot of primetime games in the next like few weeks. They're not going to be able to move the, even if Luck comes back, they're not going to be able to move the ball in Carolina. They're not going to be able to move the ball against Denver. You know, they're going to get killed by New England. So hopefully at least they'll fall back to, even if they beat New Orleans, they'd fall back to 4-5 by their bye. And then they have Atlanta and Pittsburgh and, you know, so.
No, that's when they still have to play the Jaguars, the Texans, so here now what the I'm Titans, saying is,
yeah,
the Bucs.
Yeah, but they're not even going to beat all those teams.
Yeah, they are.
Now what I'm thinking is that they could, you know, they could pull like the Seahawks Rams from a few years ago and like they could play Tennessee the last week of the year or. You know, or maybe they'd be tied with Houston or something, but like they could be 7-8 and needing to win
what we've been saying about them all along is no matter how many games they keep losing, they're still going to win the division no matter how bad they
fine,
are.
Fine, but let them be cannon fodder. Right, but let them be cannon fodder this year for, you know, whoever the 5 seed is. You know,
but that's not how it works. We've
which
said,
is probably going to be Pittsburgh. And
that 500 or worse team ends up winning that game every single time.
I know, but Pittsburgh is much better than Indy, so I hope Pittsburgh wins that game. We're already but you could put that game in Penn right now. That's going to be Pittsburgh at Indianapolis.
Yeah, but the 5 seeds were better in all of those games also, and yet they still lost. You know, the home field advantage is significant in the playoffs. I let me see. Do I have that as? I don't know. I actually have Pittsburgh at Cincy in that game because I think. I think the Colts are actually going to end up getting up to the 3 seed.
Well, at this point, that's a little bit of a stretch. You know,
well, since he's a much better team than the Colts, but again, it's based on the schedule. All right, but so let's keep going. Now we have a tie at 16th between two and three teams, San Diego and Washington. Let's do San Diego first because even though they're tied here, San Diego is clearly the worst team. You have San Diego higher. Oh, that's I guess how they're tied. I think San Diego stinks. And
this is a little bit unfair because we graded this, you know, we did the power rankings before the Monday night game.
Well, no. Before the Monday night game,
you moved down
to 16.
Think about it more. I think, listen, to me, the Chargers are the definition of a league average team. Like, they could, on their best day, could beat almost anybody except for, like, the elite three or four teams. And
let's go through what they've done. They barely beat Detroit at home. which is Detroit's best outcome. Right. They lost at Cincy, although it was a pretty close game. So
yeah, that's a good result.
Through 2 weeks, they look okay. Then they got destroyed by the Vikings. Then they barely won in overtime by 3 against the Browns. And then they lost.
So they're better than the Ravens.
Yeah, okay. And then they lost to Mike Vick and the Steelers.
By the way, Philip Rivers is going to throw for 6,000 yards this season.
Yeah. So San Diego, you know, the thing is, and we talked about 8-8 make the playoffs in the NFC, and then we said, oh, it definitely won't happen in the AFC. But right now I have San Diego and Pittsburgh as the wild cards at 9-7 each.
Yeah.
And then I have the Jets and the Bills at 8-8. Okay. So it's not impossible that 8-8 could make it, actually, because I think the Jets and the Bills both are better than San Diego.
Right, plus especially if the Patriots and Broncos are like hoarding so many wins in the AFC.
Yeah, which they are. I mean, they're both going to win, you know, 13 plus. New England's going to win 14 probably at least.
I do think San Diego's going to be able to move the ball against Green Bay better than they were against the Vikings.
Rob, but they're going to get killed this weekend. They're going to lose no matter what.
I don't know, the
right?
Packers haven't been killing people. They've just been like systematically, you know, beating them down.
Well, you say that, but also the Packers
are... And also, like, Gates came back and looked very good. Like, they really has a lot of weapons right now.
Okay. You can't say the Packers haven't been killing people because they're 5-0 against the spread this year. So, they've been beating people by more points than they were expecting to beat people.
They only beat San Francisco by 14.
All right.
When people thought they would be beating them by 40.
Well, but a lot of people, you know, the line was 8.5, I think, or whatever it was. Uh-huh. If you're 5-0 against the spread, you've been beating teams handily. Okay.
But if the Chargers fans don't care about the Chargers, we should stop talking about them because we shouldn't care.
Yeah. This is a forgettable team. And it will annoy me if they make the playoffs over a team like the Jets or the Bills. But you know, as of right now, that's what I see happening. Hopefully I'll be wrong. And then we have Washington. And you said before, which team did you say their fans are the most overconfident fans? Oh, the Ravens?
The Ravens. Oh, for sure.
So then what do you say about Washington fans? Because Washington fans thought
they were... Well, they don't even know what success looks like anymore, Washington fans.
Yeah. Oh boy! I mean, if they would have won at Atlanta, it would have got really annoying really fast.
I mean, luckily, right? I don't have like a lot of Redskins fan friends, so that would have been fine for me. The Dolphins' loss at home looks pretty bad now. Again, I'll excuse it. I think the Dolphins are a very competent team and who just, you know, kind of lost their way in the locker room. The Rams' win is a really, really good win, right? Beating the Rams by 2 touchdowns.
Oh, they've been decent 4 weeks in a row, yeah.
Yeah, the Giants loss will excuse. The Giants can...
That was a horrible game.
But the Giants can throw the ball on any team in the NFL. You know, Eagles win is a really good win. The Eagles have been good.
And Eagles have not been good. What are you talking about?
The Eagles are good. The Jets are 3-1, and the Eagles destroyed the Jets.
Yeah, the Eagles look like one of the worst teams in the NFL until this week, which is, you know, the Eagles just, you know, I think Washington is an average team, which is good because we didn't think they were that good before the season. So
yeah, I don't know. They're definitely an average team.
I had them at 28 before the season. ESPN had them at 32.
Problem is, what happens when Cousins gets hurt? That's going to be interesting.
Well, I don't think they've been good because of Cousins. They've been good because their defense is better.
I know. I'm saying, do they go to Griffin? Do they go to McCoy, who's the backup?
It's their defense isn't better than expected, and their running game, although it wasn't good this week.
Well, who do you think? Are they going to be able to go to New York this week and win?
No.
You don't think so?
No.
To me, they're similar to Philly, and I mean, the Jets just got, you know, Philly ran up and down the field on
the
Jets.
I have the Jets winning. Do you not have the Jets winning this game?
No, I never have. Like, I'm such a pessimist, but
So you think the Jets are going to lose at home this week to Washington?
I mean, Fitzpatrick has 6 interceptions through 4 games. So he's on pace for 24 interceptions, and there have been so many dropped interceptions also. This happened Sanchez's rookie year where, you know, people didn't... I mean, Sanchez, I think, threw 21 interceptions his rookie year, but he also had, like, the most drops ever recorded of anybody. It was like, oh, he's way worse than you realize. He's just gotten a little lucky. Mm-hmm. To me, it's like Fitzpatrick makes so many bad decisions that any decent team seems like it's going to be able to capitalize on it. And the only thing about the Philly game is the Jets were so undermanned because they're not like a very deep team on offense to begin with. And they didn't have Ivory, who's, you know, amazing. And they didn't have Decker, who's like a competent NFL starting receiver. So, you know, and past that, you're putting in waiver wire guys at you know, who are, you know, getting snaps. So maybe that was a fluky loss for the Jets. I know we're not talking about the Jets now, but I'm going to pick the Redskins by 3.
All right. Yeah. I mean, the Jets are going to win that game, I think. Okay. But I think it'll be close. So now we have another tie in our power rankings. This is a 3-way tie at 13th between Buffalo, St. Louis, and Philadelphia. So let's talk about St. Louis first because they're on a bye, so they're not playing this week. You know, they lost by 14 to the Packers. The Packers, They won the week before against Arizona. Look, this is the team we have the bet going on between the Vikings and the Rams. You think the Rams are a playoff team. I really have no respect for their offense. And look how many points they've scored. They scored 10 to Washington.
Yeah, well, it's not really a fair bet. Someone should have told me how bad Nick Foles was.
Yeah, listen to how many points they scored. 10, 6, 24, 10. Week one, and I'm excluding week one, but so the last 4 weeks they've scored, I think, probably the fewest points in the NFL. And Nick Foles just threw 4 interceptions in the game. But their schedule, actually, when they get back from the bye, they play Cleveland and San Francisco at home. So you got to assume those are two wins.
Who knew that if you didn't have any good receivers and you have a horrible quarterback, you know, you can't win in the NFL? Nobody,
But is Nick Foles horrible? I mean,
yeah, he's horrible.
Yeah.
He's horrible.
But this is the thing. I think the Rams have to be sort of pleased, you know.
He hasn't hit 198 yards since week one.
Yeah, you have to be sort of pleased if you're the Rams, though, because we said the schedule the first month was so bad before the bye. We thought they'd go 1-4. And we thought the one we, you know.
They've beat two really good teams. And they've lost to, you know, two really good teams and one league average team.
Yeah. And then and as I said, come back from the bye, you play Cleveland and San Francisco. And so you'll be 4-3.
They could lose to anybody, I think, yeah, with Nick Foles. Like.
Yeah. And then they go at Minnesota, which,
to me, they're the definition of an 8-8 team.
Yeah. Foles throws 4 picks a game. They're not going to be an 8-8 team, obviously.
The Packers defense has really been one of the most underreported stories. Like, the Packers defense has been ferocious in a lot of games this year. I mean, but the Rams, like, again, Rodgers was throwing interceptions at home, which, they opened up, like, congressional investigations.
Yeah, I mean, a tip pass, you know.
They were swarming him. Like, the defense looked really good.
Yeah.
I think, they have a bye, so we don't have to talk more about the Rams, but they're more interesting than they've been in a while, I think.
All right. And then we're going to talk about Philly next. They're playing the Monday night game this week against the Giants. That's going to be a very big game to decide what happens in that division. And this was one where you were way off on the line. You had the Giants favored by 1.5 in Philadelphia, so you were 5 points off on this one. And the actual line is 3.5, which means that Vegas thinks that the Eagles have been better than the Giants, which makes no sense. Right?
I mean, you're giving them a lot of respect because they killed a horrible New Orleans team and because, you know, they beat the Jets by 7, but they really, you know, they were up 24-0, I think, in that game. They lost to Tony Romo. They lost by 2 in Atlanta. They lost by 3 in Washington. The Eagles are fine. I don't know. The Giants are just such a frightening team to play right now. Like, you know, if Cruz comes back and gives them anything as a third receiver, like, there haven't been a lot of teams ever, you know, that could throw out Beckham, Cruz, and Randall just running down the field with a guy who can really throw them. And
Reuben Randall, such great shakes.
He can get, listen, he can catch balls when he's open, and Beckham is
Cruz is coming back. Let's just point out that Beckham and Randall both missed the end of the game, and they had nobody to throw to, so Shane Vereen at the end of the game.
Right, that's true. Listen, if Beckham misses this game, then the line has to tilt more towards Philly. But assuming Beckham plays, I'm going to pick, I think it's at best 50-50 this week that he plays, right?
I have no idea. I mean, look, this is the thing. I'm just going to defer. If Philly wants to win this division, this is a must-win game, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to say they win. And if they lose, we'll have to bring Shamir on to make fun of him again. But okay.
I'm going to say if Beckham plays and is healthy, the Giants will win. I'm going to say Beckham doesn't play, so the Eagles win.
All right. So, and then the next team we have tied is Buffalo. And Buffalo, you know, they were really riding high until the last 2 weeks. And now it's a little bit hard to say. Obviously, they had the big week one win against the Colts. They lost to the Patriots. No shame there. They were favored in that game, which in hindsight is funny. Then they destroyed the Dolphins and, helped get Philbin fired. And everybody's riding high on the Bills. And then the last 2 weeks, they've looked really bad. They lost badly at home to the Giants. And then, as we said, they've won by 1 this week against Tennessee, a game they really did not deserve to win.
Yeah, Tyra Taylor threw for 109 yards.
Yeah.
He ran for 76.
Yeah, so, we'll learn a lot more about them this week when they play the Bengals.
Oh, we're not going to learn anything. They're getting killed.
All right, so let's hold off on too much discussion of that game because we have a special guest coming on when we reach the Bengals, and so we'll discuss that game in a second. But we do both agree that Cincinnati's going to win that game.
Yeah.
You know, and that line is only 1.5. So Vegas sees it as a really close game, actually.
Yeah. So spend all your money, mortgage your house, and bet on the Bengals.
Yeah. I actually have some more opinions on that game, but again, I'll wait till we get to the Bengals to discuss it. All right. So climbing up the rankings now at number 12, we have your New York Jets.
Yeah. And I really said everything I need to say about the Jets already.
Yeah.
And I have them losing the game. The thing is, like, I just want people to realize how great Chris Ivory is. And, like, maybe that one loss was, like, you know, much more attributable to missing Ivory and Decker than we realized. The one thing I said in the preseason also is, you know, they have Sheldon Richardson, who's one of the best D-linemen in the NFL. Like, you know, top three or four the last 2 years in the NFL. Muhammad Wilkerson, who's you know, probably like top five or six. Then they have the guy who everyone said was the most talented player in the entire draft, Leonard Williams, and Damon Snacks Harrison, who's like a solid nose tackle. So this is as frightening of, you know, they have four guys. They play a 3-4. It almost doesn't make sense. Like, they are going to – Wilkerson got double-teamed every single play the first four games of the season, basically. So you obviously can't double-team Wilkerson and Richardson.
Yeah.
So if Richardson comes back and is in shape, which who knows, he's clearly with the crazy offseason he had, like you have to warn that, you know, he's such a head case. But if he is in shape, that's going to be frightening. Yeah. They're going to be able to eat apart any below average offensive line. They're going to be eating the quarterback all day.
That's a lot of great D lines this year in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Then at 11, we have my Vikings. We already discussed a little bit, you know, they should be Kansas City this week. And John Sullivan.
It's a game I'm looking forward to. Like, you know, you said week one would be an aberration. The Detroit win doesn't look as great. The San Diego win doesn't look as great, although
if you blow teams out, it's a good win.
Yeah, like, I agree. Okay. I agree. And we've watched the Denver game together. And, you know, for them to be in that game was an impressive feat considering
this kicker is going to screw them, though. They're going to miss the playoffs because of this kicker. I know it right now. It's going to happen. But yeah, look, well, the next app, they play Kansas City and then they go on the road and play Detroit and Chicago.
They're going to have to win those games. Will you be okay with 2-1 the next 3 weeks, or do you need 3-0?
So here's the thing. So the Vikings have one of the biggest home road splits in the NFL for a number of years. And I'm not exactly sure what the reason for that is.
They don't even have the same stadium like that they.
Yeah. You know. But if you look, you know, they're already 0-2 this year on the road, although, you know, one of them is a legitimate loss. One of them was not. Their next three road games, Detroit, Chicago, Oakland. You got, you know, if you're a playoff team, you have to win at least one of those, right? If not two. I mean, those are three very winnable road games. And then the home games in that stretch are the better teams they play are St. Louis and Kansas City.
So would you take 3-2 in the next five, or do you need 4-1?
I mean, if they go 4-1 in the next five games, they're making the playoffs, right?
Right.
Then they'll be 6-3, and they got a couple of these games in December. Would I take 3-2?
Yeah, but they have a Green Bay, Atlanta, Seattle, Arizona stretch, which is crazy.
Yeah, I think I would take 3-2, honestly, just because I have such low expectations for the road. That 3-2 means that we win one road game and we win both home games. I think I would take that. But, you know, that's why, again, I think they're only going to finish 8-8. The positive thing is John's...
All your games you have to win are right now. Look at the schedule. Other than the Chicago game, you don't have an easy game after November 15th. So,
well, they play the Bears. They still play the Bears.
That's November. That's other than the Chicago game, I said.
So yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, yeah,
one,
that's what I'm saying.
They need to go
4-5. Win 4 or 5, but they're not going to, I don't think.
Next.
Yeah, next. All right, so now we're into the top 10 finally, and we'll start with the Giants. You know, you're all over the Giants, and you've already talked about it quite a bit, so I don't think we need to say much more about it, except, you know, I think the Giants are a little bit lucky to be 3-2. They you know.
Well, they lost the Dallas game they could have won. I mean, the Atlanta game they could have won, so that's crazy.
The truth is all their games other than the Bills game have been close games.
Yeah, so Giants fans hear that. They're tearing their hair because they think they could be 5-0.
That 49ers game was an embarrassment.
It was. Of course, they should have lost that game. But listen, they have a quarterback who can throw for 450 yards, and there's only a couple teams in the league who have that. So, you know, well, kudos to them.
The Browns have won.
It's true. Listen, the Mount Rushmore right now is Tony Romo. I mean, is Aaron Rodgers, Philip Rivers, Eli Manning, and Josh McCown.
Yeah. All right, and then the other team tied at 10th. Or excuse me, 9th on our list. And this is the last team about whom we have a bit of disagreement, is Seattle. You have Seattle down at 12. I still have them up at 7. And it's sort of similar to Detroit in that, yeah, they're only 2-3. But looking at their schedule, you know, what more did you want from them here? They played at St. Louis, which, as we said, they've lost to St. Louis 3 years in a row. The last 2 years they went to the Super Bowl, they still lost it to St. Louis. So, you know, and they lost by 3 in overtime. That's a fine, whatever, that's a loss. They lost to the Packers at Green Bay. You're supposed to do that. They lost by 3 at Cincinnati. The way they lost, the way they blew it is disappointing. But, you know, Cincinnati might be the best, you know, one of the best 2 or 3 teams in the league. And then they lost by 3 at Cincinnati. There's no shame there. And then they, you know, they won their 2 home games against the 2 bad teams they played. So they're only 2-3. but two of those losses were really, really close, and they played tough games. And now their schedule is going to get easier. They're playing the Panthers this week, who are undefeated, but I think the Panthers are garbage, and I think the Panthers are going to get
no, there's going to be a tough game for them because they can't block. So what happens when you can't block a team that has a great front seven?
Yeah,
and they might have
score.
Keekly come back. Like I
Carolina's
think
not going to score in this game.
No, it's going to be a very low scoring game, but Carolina's got a real shot at winning this game, I'm telling you.
Okay. Well, all right. So what's your prediction there? You think they're going to do it?
I mean, if I had to like bet all my money, I'd probably pick Seattle. But like now that I'm thinking about it, it might be like a really good pick in a confidence pool or something to go high on Carolina. I went really high on Cincinnati last week and then we chickened out.
It's a strange line because, you know, I had it at 4.5 and you had it at 6 and we were both too low. It's at 7. So
Seattle can't block anybody. So they're not winning the Super Bowl this year. This is an inferior version of the last few years' teams. Wilson is keeping them in games by himself by running around. I do like the fact Rawls and Lynch now, because Lynch needed, you know, he's so old. He needed like someone who's going to be able to spell him. So this is a very good sign for them. But no offensive line, no receivers in a league where, you know, teams are building around offensive line and everyone is building around receivers is not a great strategy. And to me, this is like a team that loses in the wild card round and is on the decline. It's fixable. It's a fixable problem, but not during the season. So
okay.
Forget about the Seahawks. Next.
All right. Okay, next. So now we have Pittsburgh at number 8. Pittsburgh, like Dallas, you know, looked like they were in trouble without their quarterback. They lost at home to Baltimore, which, you know, nobody else lost to Baltimore this year. And Mike Tomlin got a lot of blame in that game, and I thought it was undeserved. And, boy, the amount of blame he would have got this week, if Le'Veon Bell doesn't score on that play last night.
Yeah, so in real time, you thought that they should kick the field goal, right?
No, because I always say go for it because, you know, I'm an advanced stats man.
It's such a – well, it's not advanced. This is a very – because the field goal – a field goal is essentially 100% play, right? So over time –
But that's the point. A field goal is a 50% play to win the game. Assume it's 100% play. Now you're going overtime, it's 50-50, right?
Yes.
So that's why you go for it there.
All you're right. All you're saying is do we have a better than 50% chance – unless you think you have a worse than 50% chance of winning in overtime, which is reasonable when you have Michael Vick as a quarterback. Yeah, to me it was the right call because you have a bad QB and they have a better quarterback,
and also that's an
advantage in overtime.
Is your chance of scoring there greater than 50%?
That's the only question. Do you have a better
chance? The
answer is yes, chance?
And that's why
it's about a 50-50 play. The play they called is not a better than 50% chance play of scoring, by the way.
Well, that was a ballsy play. Yeah, but I was saying, but when you need 1 yard,
Vic trying to jump at the goal line, that's at least a 50%.
Fourth and ones get converted like 65% of the time in the NFL. So that was
from the goal line.
Well, just fourth and ones in general.
Yeah, but fourth and ones from the goal line are lower.
But it's still higher than 50.
I don't think so, actually.
I think I read this somewhere yesterday.
We have to
check. I forgot
the number
was. But the point is, 99% of NFL coaches kick the field goal there because NFL coaches don't try and win. They just try
to Tomlin has the most job security. Like, he's belting.
Well, yeah.
Like, you know,
yeah.
the team hasn't fired a coach in
50 years.
I think they're okay.
So yeah, so I respect the call, and I'm glad they made it. I'm glad it worked out.
Was I right about Vic? I know he threw the big touchdown.
He's terrible.
Beyond terrible.
Looks sad.
Looks sad out there almost.
Yeah, well, he came alive when it mattered in the fourth quarter. It allowed them to sneak by a win. And
if Roethlisberger doesn't play, they're going to lose this week. But if Roethlisberger plays, they have a chance in Arizona. They do, right?
Well, they're playing at home. Oh, is Roethlisberger could he be back this week?
I think there's an outside chance. Yeah.
All right.
I wouldn't even bother against the Cardinals because he might get hurt again. Like, that's a team that could, like, knock.
Yeah, so it's
out.
Totally – if Roethlisberger plays, I pick Pittsburgh. If Arizona plays, I pick Arizona. If he doesn't play, I pick Arizona.
But you're agreeing that the Steelers are going to be a force to be reckoned with the rest of the way. The Steelers are really the Giants version of the AFC, just with a better running back and a better coach. Like, the point is they have a quarterback who can throw the ball well enough that they could beat any team any week. And they have a chance to be in the Super Bowl this season. Do you agree with what I said?
You think the Giants have a chance to be in the Super Bowl this season?
You know the Giants have won the Super Bowl with the worst team. Wait.
Yeah, no, that's true.
They won the Super Bowl with a worse team than they have. A much worse team than they currently have.
Agreed.
They were outscored that season.
But neither of the years that they won the Super Bowl did they have a team that could win the Super Bowl. So the fact that, you know what I mean? Like,
what, you know, yes, Green Bay is much better and Arizona is much better. But if Seattle's on a downswing, there's no team in the East. There's really no other team out there.
If the Giants made,
I mean,
support,
the problem is, yes,
terrible.
They'd have to go to Arizona and Green Bay, which would be really hard. But
they went to Green Bay when Green Bay was 15-1 that year.
I know, but Green Bay could be better this year.
better than that 15-1 team?
I mean, this is an amazing, like, Green Bay could be amazing.
All right.
So and the Arizona, young receivers are going to be good by the end of the season, Montgomery right, so, and Adams.
But this is the last game of the week that we have to pick a win and a loss. And we're both saying Arizona's going to win because we think Ben Roethlisberger's
yeah,
not
I don't think
yet,
he's
right?
ready yet.
Yeah. All right. Now we move up to number 7. And from here on out, it's all undefeated teams other than one loss for the Cardinals. So number 7 is Carolina. Clearly the worst of the undefeated teams. And I actually think that they're worse than both Pittsburgh and Seattle as well. They're a very unimpressive undefeated team, and I think we'll see what they do this week against Seattle. But if you look, you know, all they can do is play who they've played, you know. But they've played four.
It's
of the
not
worst
true.
Teams
if
league.
You're really gritty, you'd get better teams on your schedule.
No, but they played four of the worst teams in the league. They play.
Oh my god!
Jacksonville, holy Houston, cow. New Orleans, and Tampa on
is
our
that
list.
Bottom four.
Jacksonville, Houston, New Orleans. No, that's our 32, 31, 30, and tied for 26.
Yeah, and Tampa could easily be bottom
four. Yeah, Tampa's one spot ahead of San Francisco. So they played four of the five worst teams in the NFL.
But two of them are by double digits, two of these wins.
Well, yeah, but again, they play four of the five worst teams in the NFL.
Let's just say the schedule gets a little tougher in the next 4 weeks.
Yeah, but they're playing Seattle, Green Bay, Philly, Indy.
But then it gets easy again. They got Tennessee, Washington. I guess Romo would be back for the
look. The whole story
game.
Of the NFC West is that all these teams have garbage schedules, and 8-8 is going to win the division. So again, I don't think
NFC South.
Yes, excuse me. Yeah, you're right. I think that they're going to lose.
No, but Aiden's not going to win division because Atlanta can beat people.
No, I'm saying,
I really
I'm
like
saying,
this
well,
Atlanta.
I'm talking about what we said in the preseason.
By the way, who's you know who's locked in to win Coach of the Year? I think Dan Quinn.
Yeah. Well, again, it's early. Let's see. But the thing is, I still think Carolina's. They're 4-0. I think they're going to end up 8-8. And the reason is because they're going to lose three of the next four games. Then they're going to play at Dallas, at New Orleans, at the Giants, at the Falcons. They're going to lose three of those four at least. So there's six losses right there. So
they're so boring. So boring.
Yeah. I don't know much to say about the team. Let's move on. All right. So and then we have right above them, Atlanta, number 6, and we both have them exactly 6 in our rankings. Atlanta has not looked that impressive for a team that's 5-0. They had that big win against Houston, but as we said, Houston's garbage. And other than that, they got lucky basically in every one of their games. But the bottom line is, this is the kind of thing you talk about moving forward, but the bottom line is they've banked these wins. The Philly game, if that game lasts another 2 minutes, they lose. The Giants game, they got extraordinarily lucky. Then, they got lucky.
Cowboys, they got amazing that they didn't have, they got lucky. They didn't have to play Romo.
But also, they struggled to win that game. And then they got a pick six in overtime to beat, Kirk Cousins at home in Washington.
Okay, but does Atlanta have a chance to be 9-0 at the bye?
No, because that's the thing. When you get lucky, they've had four, toss-up games. They won all four.
Who are they losing to? New Orleans this Thursday night, or then Tennessee, Tampa, and San Francisco?
No, they're playing four of the worst teams in the league the next 4 weeks.
So they could be. So my question is, can they be 9-0?
Could they be 9-0 in theory? Yes, they could. And then
8-1. Very realistically, they could be 8-1 at the bye.
Hold on a second. If we're just playing this game, I'm looking at their schedule. They could go 16-0.
I mean, it's crazy.
Wait, hold on.
Their hardest game left is against the Panthers, who can't score 15 points.
Yeah, it's the NFC North.
Outside the division, the best team they play is the Colts. They have them at home.
And the Vikings,
probably, Colts will probably
also.
Have clinched. Colts will be 4-6 at that point. They'll probably have clinched the AFC South. Oh my god.
They're playing the Vikings, but that's at home also.
Oh my, Atlanta could be in the 98 situation where they just coast. And that team, I don't want to disrespect that team. That team went 8-0 at home. Yeah. That team was much better than this team, but they didn't have as good of a quarterback. Or they didn't have Julio Jones either. But they could be, we talked about Arizona having, being a two, top two team with Green Bay. Atlanta could get a bye.
Yeah, I mean, that's, I'm looking at this right now. I mean, they're going to be favored at Tennessee, their favorite, Tampa. They're going to be favored in every one of their remaining games except for at Carolina.
That's insane.
That's crazy. They're 5-0. They've gotten
we
lucky.
Should have had a Falcons fan on this week. They would be going insane. Who's our Falcons guy? We got to get the Falcons guy on next week.
Well, if they're 9-0, we'll bring him. We'll give him a chance in the next couple of weeks. They still have a chance.
No, I want the unintentional comma to be high. I want to have it now at 6-0, and then if they end up going 9-7, it'll look funny in retrospect.
Yeah, but it's really crazy. They're 5-0, and they're going to be favored in all but one of their remaining games.
All right, who's next?
That's insane to me. That's really, really crazy. All right, so next we have the Denver Broncos. And this team is just a complete reversal of what everybody would have thought. Their defense is just incredible, and their offense is garbage. And their offense has gotten worse. They've scored fewer points 4 consecutive weeks. They scored 31
it's hard to watch Manning, not because he's so bad, just because he's so inept. Yeah. It's not even sad. I don't like.
He's so smart, but he just can't do it physically.
He can't. And he throws the ball. Somebody said that Thomason and Sanders are going to get murdered going over the middle. And then, I watch the game, and it's true.
Thomas is so big, though.
He's so big. Thomas is like, I don't know how Thomas doesn't get 200 catches a season.
He's 6'8", 300 pounds.
It's crazy. Thomas is really how are his stats not way better than Julio Jones and Dez Bryant?
I don't know. I'm just saying, thank goodness that they got rid of Julius Thomas, because it was so annoying how you never knew which Thomas was getting.
Oh my God. Yeah. I never had either of them, so it was fine with me, but I hear you.
Yeah.
I guess you play against them. But there's not much, Denver's defense is even better than we thought. Their offense is as bad as humanly possible.
They're eking out these wins. They're not winning any game handily, and they're going to eke out a win this week at Cleveland.
They're going to go down in one of their playoff games, and they might only need two playoff games before the Super Bowl, but in one of them, they're going to be down 13-3, and there's going to be nothing Peyton can do other than make, scour. And it's going to be
a whole lot. The running game has been even worse than the passing game.
Well, they look good against you guys.
Well, the one play.
Yeah, that's true.
You take out the
one play, and even that was let's box in the line to stop him on.
Yeah, Ronnie Hillman had 73 yards on that one play. You take it away,
right? There was no safeties there. It was just once he got past
even with
first
that
line.
Even with that one play, they're 30th in the league in rushing. You take that play out, they're last in the league in rushing.
Okay.
But again, the bottom line is that they've given up the second fewest points in the league. But it's going to get a lot more difficult in November. They're going to play in November. They play Green Bay and the Colts, and the Patriots. So. Mm-hmm. So it's going to get a lot more exciting. And then in December, they've still the Steelers and the Bengals. So their schedule is going to be a little more difficult. And speaking of the Bengals, so it brings us to our number four team in the power rankings, the Cincinnati Bengals. And to speak about the Bengals, we have a special guest, Zach Sosna, who was with us in the preseason for the Bengals. Zach, how are you doing today?
I am fired up.
You should be. And I just want to point out that I actually have the Bengals at number three, but Akiva has Arizona ahead of them. But we both owe you a little bit of a mea culpa. You said they were going to go 12-4 before the season. And we sort of thought, silly Bengals fan. But Andy Dalton with time has turned into a elite quarterback, to quote a PFT commentator. You have a couple of big wins, beating Oakland and San Diego and Kansas City is not that great, but you went into Baltimore and won, although so did the Browns. And then you beat the Seahawks in a game, it looked like this game was over and in the fourth quarter, and just a very impressive comeback win to get to 5-0. So tell us a little bit how it's been to be a Bengals fan through the first 5 weeks of the year.
It's been a lot of fun to be a Bengals fan. We're not used to winning very much. In the last couple of years, we have been winning, and then this year going 5-0. We haven't been 5-0 since 1988, so it's been quite a long time. This past week, this weekend, I don't think I've ever had my heart racing so much during a football game than at the end of that fourth quarter when we were driving down the field, and you're screaming, get off the field, get set, don't move. It was quite the feeling. I actually went out to Baltimore to see that game. So it's been quite the journey. I've been to four of the five games this year. I've missed.
Oh wow, a legit fan.
Yeah.
So you were at the Seattle game on Sunday.
Yeah, I was. I'm a season ticket holder. So
do you think they're better than the Seahawks? Was that fluky, or was the fact that they were down 24-7 more of a fluke?
I think it was more of a fluke that we were down.
Well, after the pick six, did you be honest, at that point when it was 24-7, did you think the game was over?
I was talking to my brother. I was sitting there talking to him, and we were both like, it's not likely, but there's a chance. We turned to each other and said that. I'm the ultimate optimist. I always think there's a chance for us to come back. I think it was more of a fluke that we were down by so much. Andy threw an ill-advised pass. We got a huge touchdown called back on a penalty. I know those happened, but it was just we had – things weren't going our way, and things were going their way. And once we figured out how to stop that cutback, we were committing on the back end to going straight for Russell Wilson on every single play. So they were just running through that lane where normally the defender would close off the back. So they were just killing us there. So once we were able to take care of that, then they couldn't really do much on us. Their offense couldn't really do much on our defense.
So let's talk about this week. You're going at Buffalo. Up until the last – through 3 weeks, Buffalo was probably the second most impressive surprise team in the AFC. They had a couple of big wins at Miami and over the Colts, and then they played a tough game against the Patriots. But then they've really crashed the last 2 weeks. They lost badly to the Giants at home, and they barely beat the Titans last week. So now it's back in Buffalo, and this is a 1.5-point spread right now. So Vegas thinks it's a pretty close game. Akiva and I both think the Bengals are going to take it pretty easily. First of all, are you going to Buffalo for this game?
I want to, but I don't. There's nothing to do in Buffalo.
I've been to a game there actually before. There's a reason that Bills fans are always getting drunk and, you know, getting into fights during tailgating, because there's not that much to do.
Yeah, I went to Buffalo when I was in high school with my dad for a hockey game or Montreal Canadiens fans, and we were gonna spend the day in Buffalo and go to Niagara Falls, but we literally could not find one thing to do in Buffalo, so we just left.
And are you predicting a win or a loss this week?
I think we're going to win. I'm cautiously optimistic. I'm worried that we're going to be too full of ourselves and, you know, not put forth. But this team has shown that they're not the same old Bengals, that they're going to take it one game at a time and, you know, actually play through everything and not get big heads. And I think having just played Seattle, Buffalo, you know, like Tyrod Taylor could, you know, its feet could cause problems. So we just played Russell Wilson, who's a, you know, much better version quarterback than Tyrod Taylor. So I think we're prepared for the running quarterback scheme. And, you know, we just played a great front seven, you know. So we played a very similar team this past week to Buffalo. So I think it sets us up pretty well to go into Buffalo and play.
Is there anything that makes you nervous? I mean, I know you're 5-0. Is there anything that you've seen in the first month of the season that's concerning or no?
I think that we really need Vontaze Burfict back. Our linebackers have been very subpar. We're really struggling to cover running backs out of the backfield. So we can get hurt pretty bad, and it's hard to get people off the field if they can just dump it off to your running back. Vinny Ray has been great on calling plays, but he's just not quick enough to keep up with these running backs. So that's been very concerning, was just our linebacker play. So we really could use Burfict back.
And then the following week, you're going to have a huge game. Ben Roethlisberger will probably be back, and it'll be a must-win for Pittsburgh if they want to stay in the division race, especially if you guys are 6-0.
Yeah. If Big Ben's back and you have to deal with, like, Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell, those are never fun matchups. So, yeah, that's going to be a huge game, because it could get them right back into things, or it could put us really out of reach for a lot of teams.
And then after that, it's going to get really easy. The rest of that month, you play at home. You have Cleveland and Houston.
Wait, are we predicting all 16 games again here, Chester? What's going on?
No, just looking at the schedule. So, you know, the Bengals have been very impressive, and we promised Zach we'd bring him on the podcast. And we were, you know, Zach, when we were looking at the Falcons are 5-0 and an undeserved 5-0. They've had four toss-ups, and they've, you know, come out on the right end of all of those. But we looked ahead at their schedule. They're going to be favored in all but one of their remaining games, because their schedule's so easy in the NFC South. So we're joking, the Falcons could be like 15-1 and they'd be like the worst team in history. You know, your team, your schedule's not that easy. As we said, you still have to go to Pittsburgh, you have to go to Arizona, and then you have to go to Denver later in the season. But the Bengals every year with Andy Dalton, they lose in the first round in the wild card game. But you've definitely set yourselves up this year for to avoid that game. The problem is that the Patriots and the Broncos are also both undefeated and both also look really good. And so, you know, it's going to be – you're going to have to win one or two of those really tough games if you want to have a chance to sneak up into the two seed, because otherwise you're stuck in the first round again. And I'm not saying you're going to lose again, but, you know, if you got the 3-6 matchup and you have to face the Steelers again, I think you'd be pretty nervous heading into that game.
Yeah, you don't want to play any AFC North team in the playoffs, especially the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Baltimore Ravens. But, yeah, I mean, like we joked about on our Bengals cast was that we just need that bye to get out of the first round, then we should be okay. It's just that first round that we can't get through. But I think that this year has shown that, you know, we can beat good teams down by 17 in the fourth quarter. We can keep up with the Ravens when they score on us late. We can win when we're up. We've proven we can win in a lot of different ways. So I think this team is taking steps forward. And last year, the biggest problem in the playoffs was Andy was just missing his weapons. Andy had showed signs of this better Andy last year, but we were missing Eifert. We were missing Marvin Jones. And Eifert already has 5 touchdowns this year, and he's been our red zone. He's been dominant in the red zone. So having him having his weapons and playing, you know, as much better level of football that he is playing, I think that we can really make a dent in the playoffs and go kind of far.
One last thing for fantasy football owners. Has Jeremy Hill lost his job?
No, Jeremy Hill is still the starter. We've just been going when we're down, we go with, you know, our 3 wide receivers and Eifert and then Gio out of the backfield. So we were just down. So Jeremy didn't get in. No one can really run on Seattle. So It just fit more of Gio's running style. We didn't give up on the run. So at the end of the game, when they were dropping back in coverage, Gio was able to squeeze through some yards here and there. So as the season goes on, you'll see less of Gio and more of Jeremy. I think Gio's found a much better niche on this team. But no, you'll get a lot more of Jeremy Hill down the road. He'll get the touchdowns. He'll get more yards.
One thing about you guys is there's so much depth, you know, with Green, Sanu, and Jones, and Eifert, and Bernard and Hill. Like, other than the quarterback, and no team can afford to lose their quarterback, like, you guys could afford an injury more, you know, more easily than just about any other team in the league.
I mean, it's a slippery slope when you start losing players, but we are deep, and, you know, we're homegrown. Us and Green Bay are the two homegrown teams that are very successful. So we've been drafting well, and you draft well, you have talent.
I feel like with them, it's a strategy, and with you guys, it's because you're cheap.
No. We Mike Brown's always paid our own players. We've always kept people around way too long. That's been our problem. I don't think it's because we're cheap. That's just our strategy. We've been drafting well, so we're sticking to it.
All right. Is there any way Marvin Lewis gets fired? Because I've been calling for Marvin Lewis to get fired for years.
Not after starting this way.
Okay. Let's say they finish 5-11.
No, but what if they go 12-4 and they lose in the first round again?
Oh, he's not getting fired then.
He's not getting fired then. If he didn't get fired after the last year, he's not getting fired after another playoff.
Because that would be an improvement, 12-4 and losing the first round.
Yeah, I know 12-4 would be great. It's definitely looking more possible.
Zach will sign up for a first round loss if they go 12-4.
No, I won't. We gotta win. We gotta win in the playoffs. It's kind of cool that now that we've been in the playoffs so often, it's like, our expectations aren't making the playoffs anymore. We expect us to win in the playoffs now. We expect a run and a potential Super Bowl.
Oh, man, we're talking like a Patriots fan here.
Well, I mean, I think the Patriots expect a Super Bowl. I think Zach just wants at least one win.
Yeah, right, he just wants to win a playoff game.
He wants to be in round two.
I would love to be in the championship. The AFC championship is the game that I think we all really think that this team deserves. Well, not deserves, but...
Zach is like me as a Vikings fan in the mid-90s with Dennis Green. You know, he arrived in 92, 93, and every year we'd make the playoffs and lose in the first round. You know, and then we started winning the first game and then just losing the second game. So, Zach, thanks for coming on. And good luck to your Bengals. It looks like they've wrested that division away from the hated Steelers fans and the hated Ravens fans. And I don't really know any Bengals fans, but I hate most of the Ravens and Steelers fans I know. So I guess by default, that means I'm rooting for the Bengals to win this division.
Yeah, well, when I went to Baltimore, the Ravens fans were actually really nice. They were very kind. You know, I think a little bit more of them. But at the end of the day, it's Who Dey Nation, and let's go Bengals.
Yeah, it's almost confusing to me between the Bengals and the Saints with Who Dey and Who Dey. But yeah, all right. So thanks a lot, Zach. And you know, if the Bengals keep winning, we might have to bring you back on in a couple weeks.
Anytime.
All right. Talk to you later. And now we move up to number three, the Arizona Cardinals, and the Cardinals have been really good. You've been talking about them a lot for the last few weeks.
My Arizona-Miami Super Bowl is still alive. That's all I want to say.
You know, they've blown out everybody they've played except the Rams. And their schedule, you know, this week they're playing at Michael Vick. That should be a win. Then they're playing at home against the Ravens, who can't beat anybody. And then they're playing the Browns. So they're still going to have a chance to make some more wins. And then things get more interesting. Then they finally play Seattle and Cincinnati. And then in December, all their games are actually good. They play Rams, Vikings, Eagles, Packers, Seahawks. So they got five tough games in December, but until then, they're just going to be banking wins, I think. This team is obviously, you know, as we said, they have a plus 100 differential through five games, which is the best ever, I think I read.
You know what would be the craziest possible NFL story this week?
Yeah. What?
Now that, like, Vic is winning games again, what if someone reported that he got back into the whole dog thing this week? How crazy would that be? What a pariah he would become. Because, like, if he thinks that we love dogs, like, 6 years ago or whatever it was.
Yeah, like, we love dogs more
now. We love dogs even more now. Like, forget it. That would be something.
All right. Now let's, you know, power through these last two teams. There's not much to say. As I said, the Packers are 5-0, and they're 5-0 against the spread. The funny thing is the Packers have won each of their last 2 weeks by two touchdowns, and people have been disappointed. And count me as the most disappointed because I have Aaron Rodgers on my fantasy team and he's done nothing. But, you know, they still won by two touchdowns against the Rams, by two touchdowns against San Francisco. They've won all their games. You know, actually, each of their five games, they've won by more points, 8, 10, 10, 14, 14. Now they're playing San Diego at home. And then after that, they go to Denver, which will be the first time that Rodgers has to face, you know, a really tough defense. So that should be interesting. And then number one, of course, we have the Patriots.
I mean, at this point, the Patriots and the Packers and Patriots – are both like looking at potential historic seasons at this point. I'm not saying that they are going to be like, you know, they're both going 15-1 and they're on a collision course for the Super Bowl, but this could be the best version of both, you know, the Patriots and the best version of the Packers of this era. And
well, New England's offense is not as good as it was in the 15-1 season. Randy Moss was otherworldly.
Right. Well, that's the best offense in the history of the NFL. But their defense is so much better.
But their running game is actually better now than it was.
Yeah,
then.
And I mean, Deion Lewis is just getting better. There's a statistic that he's on pace to break the most tackles broken ever in a season already. Like
Jesus. Well, he's also my fantasy team, so I'll top that one for myself. And he's a good keeper. Also,
I mean, they have a backup that's better than most team starters. Like they're. You know, they have Gronk is the best weapon in the NFL. They're frightening. I am very curious as a Jet fan to see if we can compete with them when we play with them.
Okay, so there we have it. You said this was a great week of games. To be honest, there's not that many great games this week.
I just think it's like bad teams against bad teams and good teams against good teams. Every game is going to be close, I think.
Yeah. All right, so good luck in week 6, and we'll speak to you next week.
Yeah, it was fun.
Bye-bye.